Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. Service and price, they mean everything to them. It means everything to you. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. Here in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio, cannot thank Sunbury Motors enough. They have been with us from day one. They've made all the difference in this show. We thank them. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We now bring in Kevin Jim McKay Herr.
Wow, now that's a compliment. Jim McKay was the ultimate broadcaster storyteller.
Yes. Yes, he was. As he sat there and told us all the great Olympic stories that got you excited about the games, may be interested in watching Olga Korbut or whomever.
No, yeah, Russian, you were there.
The Soviet figure skater of the month. I mean, whomever. Okay?
You know, between McKay and Bob Costas. Those were the guys that were the Olympics Costas, hosts.
Yes, yes, Costas is brilliant. It's brilliant. You don't like the fact that I refuse to watch things on tape.
I think it's
don't
weird.
Don't want to. It's weird. If I know the result, I don't want to know.
But don't you care how it happened?
So I go to SportsCenter or Fox Sports 1 or something and watch the highlights. Or I look it up online. You know, online is a great way of finding it. Look, people sit there and, Twitter is a primary way that some people get their news, you know.
That's scary right there.
But we use Twitter.
We do.
Very effectively on this station.
It's just scary if that's where you get all your information, though.
Right. It may not be my mode and how I do things, but I'm smart enough to know that our station knows exactly how to use social media. Hey, our station is brilliant at using social media. We're right on the cutting edge of it. And a lot of people, they look at Twitter and they just want to see the headlines and move on. In depth, they can go online and get in depth. Yeah, I don't need to sit there and fire up the VCR and have people tell me la 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 la. Don't want to know la 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 la. And you go there and think, okay, fine. It's just, you know, I mean, it's too many things breaking all the time. Whether it's recruiting news or bowl news or, you know, obviously there's been a lot of conjecture. We started out yesterday's show talking about Bill O'Brien and what's going on with him. Okay, or not going on with him. Only he knows. We don't really know. People would think I would know something. I'm like you. I'm just, you know, but I'm trying to look at it realistically, too. I mean, his zeal to go out and recruit. And I'm talking about not recruiting for guys in February. He's trying to recruit February 2015 and February 2016 guys. Well, what are you going out and doing that for if, in reality, you're going to be leaving? Mack Brown wins the press conference every single time. He's one of the more brilliant guys at the press conference. Gave Texas all the credit in the world, talked about a divided fan base and so forth, decided to step down. Jimmy Sexton played this brilliantly. He is Nick Saban's agent. Nick Saban was not going to go to Texas. They briefly had a conversation about a year ago, decided he didn't want to go. Jimmy Sexton used it and got a huge deal for him at Alabama. Brilliantly played by the agent. And Jimmy Sexton's one of the better agents out there.
That's what he's getting paid to do.
Steve Patterson is the athletic director at Texas. Guess what he doesn't like to deal with? Agents.
Yeah, I was going to say agents, maybe?
Right. So you're going to talk about a guy who really wants to have that one-to-one contact with a candidate. A couple guys that come to mind right away are Charlie Strong of Louisville and James Franklin from Vanderbilt. Two excellent choices. I think For example, a guy like David Shaw, I think, would be awfully tough now. Shaw's talked about his commitment to stay at Stanford. Jim Harbaugh, you know, you leave the 49ers for this job? I mean, it's a huge job. I mean, when it comes to money, I mean, there are very few entities outside the Vatican that have more money than the University of Texas does.
Well, looking at it from an NFL coach's standpoint, if you're an NFL head coach, is there an amount of money that would make it worthwhile to make the trip to college?
Let's see. I'm going to go from drafting to recruiting.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going from drafting to recruiting.
Right.
Okay. I would do that if I were on the verge of losing my job.
Right. Exactly. But if you're a successful NFL coach, is that a move you would want to make? I wouldn't think so.
No. No. I would not, because I would be going from drafting to recruiting.
I mean, in drafting, you don't have to convince somebody to play for you.
Right. And that would be a big, big part of it, where I'm sitting in a draft room going, okay, we want Phillips from Alabama. Fabulous. Way to go. Okay. Right? Instead of, like, having to go into Phillips' home and go, you know, really, we offer you this and this and this and this, and great education and engineering and the whole thing. And, you know, we play great football. And what do you think of our facilities and the whole thing? Instead, I'm sitting there going, we take Phillips here in round three. Hey, Phillips, dude, you got no choice. You're coming here.
But I don't want to play for you. Hey, that's nice.
Hey.
Come on. Here's where practice starts.
Good luck, sport, and we'll just get an extra third round pick next year if you don't show up. So, you don't want to play in the NFL? We got a whole bunch of other guys who do. That's what it comes down to. So,
when was the last time that a pick decided they didn't want to play for the team and there was no trade or anything and they didn't show up? I mean, can you think of one?
I really sat out the whole year and they got picked by somebody else.
I mean, it happens an awful lot, it seems, in baseball. But I don't. I couldn't think of anybody, as you were telling that story, where the NFL, where it happened in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And you know, and I think it's because there are so few positions available in the NFL.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. I can't really think of one.
I mean, there's really. It's not like you could go to a team and end up in the minors in the NFL. There is no minors in the NFL, at least as of right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what I've been working on the last 2 days and finally have things just about closed up here is my passport. So, never had one before. I know it surprises some people, but yeah, I've been working on that the last couple of days.
You got plenty of time to shine your golf clubs up. You'll be good.
Whew, boy. Got that right, man. I could walk out and slice right now. All right, let's take a break. Go back with more up next inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2005 Chevrolet Colorado, inspected with all stickers, just $12,494. A Carfax certified 2012 Ford Focus SE with low miles, just $13,962. HHR LT, new set of tires, $15,498. 2011 Toyota RAV4 Limited, $19,492. Diesel power for your big jobs, a 2011 Ford Super Duty F-350 with only 10,000 miles, lowest price promise, $34,595. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Who has all the time for shopping around company to company for insurance? And do you really understand what you're getting? Price is nice, but peace of mind is best protection for your dollar, and that's priceless. For 50 years, people of the Susquehanna Valley have trusted the Kratzer Insurance Agency to do all the work when it comes to insurance. As an independent insurance agent with resources of many companies, they can find the policy that is right for you without giving up local, reassuring service that is lost by online or long-distance companies. Whether it's auto, homeowners, life, or business, think Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Right now, Allied Insurance is lowering rates for preferred auto classes. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KrautzerInsurance.com. You may qualify.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Expected to get Neil Coulong on from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com next half hour to talk about this mirage ending to the Steelers season. Do you like that, Kev?
Yeah, I do like that. That's
good. That's fine. And Lauren Crispell will look back on the Rec Hall game. That's on today's docket. Let's get to Tony and Shamokin. I know, Tony, you've been waiting a while. We appreciate that.
Hey,
one man,
enjoy the commercials.
They appreciate you saying that.
Wasn't Jim Mandich, wasn't he one of those players that sat out of here? Remember him from Michigan State?
Yeah, he was at Michigan State and then he went to the Dolphins.
But I thought he went to Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Yeah, he did.
But he sat out his first year, right?
Yeah, he sat out his first year.
Okay, he's the only one I can think of. And didn't John Elway have a problem?
John Elway was drafted by the Colts. He told the Colts, look, don't sign me.
That's right.
They drafted him anyway. Then they made that deal where they traded him to Denver.
Yeah.
And it was the same story with Eli Manning, because Eli Manning was told, hey, look, don't draft me. The Chargers did draft him with the first overall pick in the draft, and the Giants drafted Phillip Rivers, and they swapped.
That's right.
Who got the better of that deal? I'm not so sure yet, you know, completely.
Excuse me, Tony, hold on one second.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Oh,
which
I know
team
he
has
won
two Super Bowls?
I know he's won a couple of Super Bowls. I know that.
And was the MVP in both of them.
I mean,
to be honest with you, that is about as absurd a statement as I've heard anybody make on this show ever, and you've made many.
Well, listen, he's not lighting them up this year, okay?
Kevin, he's won two Super Bowls in his career and was the MVP in both. You can't possibly tell me that they should have kept Phillip Rivers.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that. Not saying that at all. I was making a tongue-in-cheek comment.
It's like this. It's like this every day. It's like dealing with the guy on the bar stool.
He's won one more Super Bowl than his brother, who they call the greatest ever.
Yeah, I mean, he has more Super Bowl wins than his brother does.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately?
And he has as many AFC, he has as many conference championship wins as his brother does.
I was making a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Tony. Now I forgot completely what I was going to talk about.
Tony, it's like
I have that effect on people.
Day.
Yeah,
it's something to do with all these reporters out there talking about. If Bill O'Brien's going to go to the pros, which I think is nonsense.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Number one, let's exclude the Penn State beat writers from that. Right? Let's be fair, because the Penn State beat writers have been extremely fair and have really kept an arm's distance from the story. The story has been forwarded by someone from CBS Sports who has a very up-and-down track record, a very up-and-down track record. You know, but like seeing his name that we quoted him. With that, other people have picked up on it. Colin Cowherd's picked up on it. You've had Chris Mortensen's picked up on it just a bit. Bill O'Brien keeps things to himself and close to the vest. He has an agent. And if the agent wants to float his name out there and with different organizations to find out whether or not there's interest, that's fine. That's all part of the professional game. Look at the brilliant job that Jimmy Sexton did in getting Nick Saban a $7.5 million deal. Jimmy Sexton could not have played that out any better. For a guy that is supposedly out of here, he certainly is doing a great job on the recruiting trail. They picked up a very significant recruit last night that was announced today about the verbal commitment. Highly significant. That's 18 verbal commitments. They left the football banquet early on Sunday. It was my job to get them out early, and I did, so they could be in Hershey to watch a series of 15 and 16 recruits. Not for February 14, but February 15 and February 16. That's how far ahead they're looking. Plus, he's looking to fill two vacancies on his staff. It seems like it's a pattern of a guy that's working very hard at his current job and not out there floating himself for other jobs.
And that's exactly what I'm thinking. And I wish they would stop it, but it's going to happen. They're going to do it every year. And I think we just got spoiled with the previous years. We never had to worry about that.
Early on, we did, though. Recall Tony, because, I mean, Tony, I think you go further back than I do. But remember, Joe talked with the Packers. Joe talked with the Raiders. He talked with the Steelers, and he absolutely talked with the Patriots. The Patriots is the best known of all of them. But he had overtures from all of them at one point or another when he was at the same stage and same age as Bill O'Brien.
That's true. Yeah.
Same stage, same age as Bill O'Brien. It's a real compliment to the job he and his staff have done here, and it's a real compliment to what has happened here, because we know that the sanctions were meant to wreck the place, but the sanctions, when they were put down, never counted on him, never counted on those kids, and they never counted on the loyalty of the Penn State fans. I mean, I think that, that's kind of blown them away, because it's not the way it was supposed to play out.
And that's the best part of it all.
Yes.
Shot it right back at him. Hey, listen, have a nice day.
Hey, Tony, did we finally get to what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah.
the Kevin thing, again, this is what he does. He U-turns the show all the time.
Oh, yeah, it's all me. It's all me.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you finally admit
it's all me. Man, you can't even make a joke on this show without getting lambasted. Wow.
You live so much in the present, you don't see big picture.
What have you done for me lately?
I don't think that's a question you should ask.
No. Not you. Oh, forget it. Just forget it. When's the news? What's coming up and where's the news?
Kratzer Insurance is our sponsor today. Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland, Auto, Home, Life, Business Insurance. Price and service mean everything. And we have Neil Coulong behind the steel curtain next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Homeowners, life, business, auto insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland has served the valley for over 50 years. Find out why. I'm here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Our deep thanks to Sunbury Motors. They were the first ones to jump on board with us day one of this show. We're heading into our third year of this show. Can you believe that, Kevo? Third year of the show coming up.
So they renewed your contract. Wow. Mine hasn't been renewed yet. Should I get concerned? No, it's great. I have fun every day doing this show.
Let's bring in Neil Coulong from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Neil, happy holidays to you and yours. Great to have you with us.
You and yours as well. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Neil, let's start out with, at least in my own mind, what I think is an interesting question. About a month ago, a lot of people, outside of the conversation you and I have, wanted to see a lot of changes with the Steelers. Down the stretch, they have played a better brand of football, including what we saw Sunday night against Cincinnati. Is there a fine line between, hey, wait a minute, you know what, something's going on here that's really good, and fool's gold?
I think that's a very good question, and yeah, you've got to look at the full body of work, and with this group in particular, considering many of them have been around for a while, coaches and players, you've got to look at, you know, beyond just the first 11 games this year or just the last five or six games or whatever, you know, sample you want to look at. You've got to look at how everything has fit together to really answer Kind of the bigger picture question: where are we going as a franchise? I mean, where is this team going to be with the expected? Obviously you've got draft picks coming up. You've got a free agency period. There are a lot of things that are going to happen between now and then. Where can we reasonably assume that this team is going to be? That said, I think you see, probably a little bit more favorable of a look over the last couple of games. Sunday obviously was a step in a better direction, but this was a team that started off 0-4. It's a team that's also lost its last three season opening games. Has not played well in the first quarter of the season. And you look at a team like this now, it's another example of how these early season disappointments are really coming back to bite them. So, are you going to be able to field a team that can be ready to play, a winning brand of football in week one? I mean, a big statement that they have, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But to some point, you can't start 0-4 and expect to compete at the end of the season for the playoffs, even when you're playing, remarkably better than you were in week one. So in many ways, I think they have to approach this offseason with those things in mind. And still, they're, even if they win their last two games and they finish at 500, which I think was, kind of an unspeakable thing earlier in the season, even if they get to that point, there are going to have to be changes made because, the reality is it's a 500 football team at best. And that's probably given a little bit of credit. They're just not quite to the point where they can legitimately think that they're going to compete with what they have right now.
And that's the next step forward. Also, you have to compare as to where they are in the division. The Ravens are obviously a better football team down the stretch now than they were a month ago. The Bengals are not, and the Browns are the Browns. So in that comparison area, how close do you think they are to the Ravens?
I think they're a very comparable team to the Ravens. I mean, the big thing with the Ravens, and I said this at the beginning of the season, they're going to finish better than where they start. They always do. I don't know exactly what their record is, but in weeks 15 through 17, in games that they're actively looking to win, not just rest their starters for the playoffs, they've only lost like maybe one of those games over the last 5 years or so, or maybe even as long as John Harbaugh has been in the head coaching position there. They've done a great job in building their team over the course of the season, and they're always hitting the end of the season running. And that's a big part of the reason why they have is such an outstanding playoff record. In that regard, I think they're comparable to the Ravens maybe in week 11 or 12, when they, really traded punches with them. They beat them in week 7 and arguably could have beat them the second time they played. But at the end of the year right now, Baltimore is probably a stronger team top to bottom because they're always playing better at this point. Talent for talent, though, I'm not sure Baltimore has a whole lot on them. The way it looks now, Pittsburgh is the better offensive team. But defensively, that's really what has hurt Pittsburgh this season and probably what really differentiates the two of them. Baltimore is a better top-to-bottom defensive team than Pittsburgh is. This is one of the worst Steelers defensive teams in a long time. So you got to look at that. I think it really, as far as comparison goes, you have to look at that and ask yourself, can a Steelers team with what they have right now get the kind of pressure on the quarterback that Baltimore is able to do? Are they able to have as deep and as strong a secondary as Baltimore has? I don't think those answers are really in the Steelers' favor right now, but I don't think it's too far off either.
Also, they have a better kicker.
Yep, man, there's no doubt about that. That guy isn't special teams player of the week. I don't know who is, but he's a Pro Bowl level guy. What has he got, 25 in a row now or something like that?
33 in a row with the 61 yarder last night to win it.
Unbelievable. I was asleep before that kick. Unfortunately, I missed that, but I saw it in the headlines this morning. I was,
How did he even do that? How is that even possible? Yeah, he just snuck it in the right upright. He just snuck it in the right upright. Really, it was really that close, but he did it. It was also indoors. But again, they go on the road, don't score a touchdown, and win. What does that tell you about the Ravens?
I think the Ravens are a team that, to use the cliche, they're really, the sum of their whole is greater than the sum of their parts. I mean, individually, on offense in particular, they're really struggling, but they always manage to keep games within the range that their offense will need them to be in order to win. And they're going to gut out that last drive. They're always able to do that. Joe Flacco is not a stat per stat kind of quarterback. He's a game quarterback, and he plays at the level his team needs him to play in order to win far more often than he doesn't. And, you know, some will say that's an argument of how good their defense is. Their defense has let him down in games, and he'll beat you 34-31. You know, look at the whatever that was against the Vikings 2 weeks ago. I mean, that was a circus at the end. He's able to stand toe-to-toe with whomever his opponent is and continuing to throw punches until the game's over. So it's tough to beat that team, and that's really what it comes down to. And you see what's probably the worst Ravens team in a while as well. They're 8-6. You know, right. they're in control of their own playoff destiny, and that's not all that good of a team. So, I mean, top to bottom, it really just goes to show how organized that team is, how united that team is, and they're able to overcome a lot of things to win. So, I mean, that's a team I don't think a whole lot of people want to play right now. And Detroit was supposed to win that game, and they didn't. I mean, score was close, but I thought Baltimore outplayed them in the time that I saw.
Yeah, they did outplay them, no question. And Flacco made plays, and Matt Stafford didn't, which was a big part of that game last night. And it's another fourth quarter where the Lions didn't play well. Now you go to Cincinnati. You and I just watched the Bengals play the Steelers the other night. I've always had a saying, and look, I have no dog in the hunt here, okay? So this is not, I'm not sitting there, hey, he's a pro Steeler guy, and he's, they're going to say this about the Bengals. I've always said this about the Bengals. There are certain franchises that remember who they are. The Bengals always seem to remember they're the Bengals at certain points.
Yeah, I think Sunday's game, you really saw that, especially right away. I mean, I was honestly asking myself, did they sleep outside last night? I mean, did they look just ice cold from the start of that game? Pittsburgh came out in a much more physical manner. And it wasn't, to me anyway, it wasn't like the Steelers just, they were clearly the better team. They were the more dominant team. They were the team that was there, it laced up and ready to go. You look at that punt return. I mean, the one that unfortunately, saw the punter's jaw break. But along with that, there were four other guys on the ground, and Antonio Brown was barely touched. He was moving at a speed that no Bengals player looked even remotely prepared for. And it wasn't even like a complex return. The Steelers put bodies on guys, knocked them on the ground, and Brown ran straight through to the end zone. That, to me, signified really what that game was in the first half. Cincinnati wasn't there, and they continue to have this kind of problem. It's not all on their quarterback. You've got to throw some at the coaching staff as well. I mean, the opposite of the Bengals, and this is why I think Baltimore is still going to win this division. Cincinnati does not play well at the end of the year. They're running out of gas heading down the stretch, and I thought this might have been the year where they could overcome that, judging by the three games that they had played before Pittsburgh. But we saw it again, just like you said, that the Bengals returned to form for that game against Pittsburgh. I mean, the second half they were much more competitive, and I never thought, I mean, when it was 30-7 or whatever it was, I never thought that Pittsburgh was 23 points better than the Bengals were, and the game would get a lot closer down the stretch, which it did to an extent. But Cincinnati doesn't play four quarters of football late in the season. And until they do that, they're a better form of the Lions right now. They've got a quarterback that you think should be able to get it done, who just ends up not really doing anything. They have a high-level receiver that doesn't seem to make the plays down the stretch that he needs to. They have a running game that should work, but then just kind of doesn't. And, whatever it is with them, it's certainly fair to criticize them with their inability to close games off late in the year.
Denver, New England, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Dallas, Detroit. All of them have something in common where they control their own destiny in some form or another, and they all lost. What does that tell you about Pete Rozelle's dream of parity in the National Football League in 2013?
I think it's the walking epitome of it. I didn't know that. That's a very interesting stat, but I think what's more telling is the fact I'm not surprised either. I mean, I think there are fatal flaws with all of those teams. Walking into it, looking into ahead to the postseason, I'm usually one that says whoever the hot team isn't necessarily the team that's going to be there in February just because things change. But outside of Seattle, I mean, who's going to beat that team right now? And I think there are issues with Seattle as well. I don't see a surefire Super Bowl matchup. I don't even see surefire conference matchups right now. For all we know, Baltimore is going to, you know, work something on offense, and they're going to make another run at it. That's, you know, like you had mentioned about Commissioner Rizzell. I mean, that really is a lot of what they wanted. They wanted to have the vast majority of their teams in contention for some type of postseason berth. And if they're not, they're right on the cusp of it, too. And I think you get a lot of that in the league as well. The AFC in particular, you know, there are some decent teams that haven't, you know, been able to win close games. You know, Pittsburgh is kind of like that, but you look around, I mean, that there are better teams. I mean, I don't think Buffalo is a horrible team right now. I think they have a lot of components that they can get to work, perhaps in another season or two. I think Tennessee, to an extent, can fit that bill. Everyone has something of a future. If it's, you know, now or if it's over the next 18 months, they all have some kind of way to compete. So I think that's really what the NFL wants, and they're getting it, you know, in pretty good number too.
Always a pleasure, Neil. Thanks so much for the commentary and for the time.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Neil Coulong from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Kevin's reaction as a diehard Steeler fan in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Steelers, here we go. Pittsburgh's gone.
Let's just fade it out right there, because it's too depressing.
It took 30 minutes to write that song. 29 of which was trying to find the pencil and paper. All right, so let's get to Kevin's thoughts, and I want to go back to my original question.
Mm-hmm.
Down the stretch, are we seeing reality because they played better, or fool's gold?
No, I don't think this is the way the team should have played all along, or anything like that. I think this is a 500 team at best. I think they hit teams at the, you know, like as you said, the Bengals are the Bengals. You know, that's why Myron used to call them the Bungles, because they'd figure out ways to lose a game. I don't get overly excited about big wins this time of year when you're struggling to be a 500 team. I don't think this offense fits the Pittsburgh Steelers. I just don't think it fits the personnel they have, and I think that's why they've struggled with it. And the defense has been, I mean, that's embarrassing. If you're a Steeler fan, this is the most embarrassing defense you've ever seen.
Is this Steeler defense the most embarrassing defense I've ever seen?
No. I said if you're
Tampa Bay went 0-26.
No, I said if you're a Steeler fan, this is the most embarrassing Steelers defense you've seen, and a long time, in a long, long time. And the Steelers fans and Steelers pride themselves on defense. Matter of fact, there was a time, Steve, when the Steelers fans got more excited when their defense was on the field.
I know. I work with one of them.
Not at this point. This is a defense you just hope will stop.
Okay, but defense is different in the NFL. Who's playing great defense right now? Seattle? San Francisco? Who else?
Kansas City's playing some decent defense. I mean, they're getting some
points.
That's
three. Okay, that's three down, 29 to go. See, that's the problem you have right now. This is back-to-back weekends. Back-to-back weekends where NFL scoring records have been set.
Well, the big problem is this is a defense that's not creating turnovers. It's not creating points off turnovers. And that's what Steeler fans expect.
Kevin, they haven't created turnovers in three seasons now. You know that, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, very all too well do I know that. And what's happened at two of those last three seasons, they've been sitting home in January.
They have not been a game-changing defense. That's been a big problem. They're not a game-changing defense. So maybe we're seeing some fool's gold down the stretch. You have Green Bay this week. We don't know yet if Aaron Rodgers is playing or not. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Lauren Crispell will be joining us next half hour, and then we'll open up the lines to you at 800-795-9565. We're going to do a show Christmas Eve. Tony Knopp's going to join us to talk business.